what do you want for an intro? And then they completely get it wrong, or they stop. Or they stop completely, like, what's the radio, Sean? WOMF?
Yeah.
And I'm screaming from the background of the room, you know, WMF. It's like, at that point, it's like, I don't care. It's like, you know what? Don't even bring me up. I'm just going to stay here, and I'm going to drink. I'm all set. I don't even want to do the show anymore.
Change my mind.
Yeah. It's like everybody, this comic just ruined it for me. They ruined it.
I got a Bobby Collins story.
Oh, I love Bobby Collins.
Well, I used to, too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say back in 1993.
I just like the way he looks.
Yeah, he's very dynamic, handsome performer, very handsome. And he's very, I don't want to say animated, he's just, he's a great act, okay? Very likable. But so was Robin Williams, but he didn't think anybody liked him.
That's true.
So
WMFO Medford. WMFO in Medford.
That's the first ID you've given.
No, I've given quite a few.
I missed it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was probably in the bathroom.
No, we're doing the FCC rules. Yep.
I was making a paper seat. So the next thing I know, I would write down intros of people. Just in case, like you say, I want to get the name right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if it's. You have anything to plug? Write it down. You're gonna be on a. You're gonna be on Lauren and Wally tomorrow morning. Let me tell you this
something.
Shit.
Yeah.
5 to 9 a.m. Yeah. Okay, got it. They're 105.7. I think back then they were 98.5 ROR.
Sure, sure.
So I asked Bobby, with pen and paper in hand.
Yeah.
Bobby, this is the first time we work together. I don't know where you're from. I don't know how long you've been doing comedy. Would you like me to bring...
Warm summer's eve.
You playing two different songs at once?
No.
Okay. So I said, any particular intro you'd like me to plug for you?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be on TV, you're making a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm the Sertz guy. Maybe you've seen my commercial. No, I haven't. I haven't.
All right.
Would you like me to mention that? Nah, you don't have to. Okay. Give me something, Bob.
Yeah.
And he said, are you going to write it down? Yes. Can't you just remember what I told you? Yeah. But sometimes my mind goes for a walk.
Yeah, he's messing with you.
I go to think. Yeah. No, he was vicious.
Yeah, yeah?
It was different.
All right.
It wasn't busting chops. It was, who do you think you are, Larry Rapucci?
Right, right.
Do you know who I am? That's what I was going to say, but I was on the payroll at Knicks. I made $400 a week. And the guy that gave me the job, Dom Ventry, said, you know why I'm giving you this job? Why? Because I know the comedians will love you. And he was right.
Yes.
Out-of-towners weren't nuts about me, but the local crop loved me.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of two people, but we'll tell that. During the sex and the single disc jockey
Well, the
years.
Number grows over the years, doesn't it?
Yeah, you think someone likes you, they don't. You think someone doesn't like you, and they do.
Yes, yes.
So anyway, I said, once Bobby asked me, are you going to write it down? I said, if you want, I can just say you suck a big private part
and then
bring you up.
Okay.
And he said, no, don't say that. So I'll be on the Tonight Show in 3 weeks. Good, good.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
I'm doing a movie called Car 54, Where Are You?
Oh, come
good.
On.
So yeah. I put that down. Yeah. And that's the thing. And then I introduced him, and he didn't like the way I said Bobby Collins. He said, you're supposed to... We're going to talk about the way you say my name. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You're supposed to say Bobby Collins. No, I don't. I'm a broadcaster.
Okay.
Don't tell me.
It's like the Orson Welles with the frozen peas.
I went the 2 years of state school to drop my R's. Don't you tell me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he said, I'm going to call the office and say, I don't want to work with you anymore. You don't have to call the office. I'm on the payroll.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was that. And he was serious, and he was vicious, and he's trying to tell me, you got a great voice, you don't use it right. You know what? Just, you should be focused on being funny.
You're right. I still like him.
No, I don't like him, and I won't work with him because he talked down to me.
I know.
He's forgotten about it.
I just remember that big grin, of the Bobby Collins grin.
That doesn't look phony and forced to you like Obama?
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Like Obama was a great speaker.
That's the one thing I remember about his act, the big grin.
But Obama is a great speaker,
he's fantastic,
yeah. But can't you hear the disingenuousness?
Well, there's that, but he's a great speaker.
Of course
speaker.
You can.
Yeah, he's a great speaker.
You're half black, half white. Does that make you a half a carjacker? Please explain.
Over. I performed for Obama.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even know he was there.
You didn't get paid.
I got $600.
Like I say, nice move.
For 2 minutes of comedy.
Oh, okay.
I was making $18,000 an hour that day. Probably, and it was one of those moments where you didn't even know until it was over how good it was. Because it was free drinks and free food.
Well, that's there's another 36 grand.
I know. I did great.
How about this? This is the word that tripped me up for Obama. I lost respect.
Yes.
Infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
He always used the word infrastructure.
Okay.
Shovel-ready jobs. You need a shovel to build an infrastructure.
You didn't do anything. Oh, this, please. I got to go to the bathroom.
The
I
ring
can't
the
stand
bell?
The song.
Oh, you don't like the ring
Never
the bell?
Never liked it. Overplayed.
Oh, oh
that's
right.
Okay.
No, we can do
You
whatever.
Can make it up with Please Don't Go by KC and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, yeah. That's a great tune. Yeah. Did you ever think I put it on just so you would go to the bathroom and we could take a break?
No, you didn't know I didn't like it. You didn't.
I'm usually playing chess
you
most of the time.
You've turned into Rod Steiger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I remember meeting Chrissy Earle.
Rod Steiger. One of the worst. He was horrible to listen to in interviews. Horrible.
I kind of liked him.
He just went on forever.
But he's so interesting.
He was like the Charles Dickens interview. You know, it's like the door was, you know, it's 4 pages long about a wooden door. You know?
I know, but he had the voices. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to ask you, would you rather be interesting than funny these days?
I think, I don't know if they go hand in hand. I think some people go out of their way to be, to try to be interesting or a little off. I think that goes back to high school or junior high days as they try to be a little different or awkward when they're not to try to gain some attention. But the short version is I think it kind of goes hand in hand. There are some people that, I don't know, there's some people that are funny that aren't that interesting. There really
like
is.
Bobby Collins. He cared more about my intro than who the Celtics are playing that night. Back to you.
But there's also people that are interesting and they're not that funny. You know, and I remember one of the things, one of the frickin' places, you know, one of the comedy clubs in Massachusetts. Are you going to the bathroom?
No, brushing my hair.
Talked about, well, I'd rather have somebody that's interesting on stage than funny. And I'm like, then you're not running a comedy club.
It's a club owner?
Oh, of course.
Well, that sounds
yeah.
Good.
It's a club owner that basically, you know, puts in all puts in all of his.
Did you hear any feedback?
No, we have state of the art equipment.
I set up for a joke. At least we're getting some feedback, but I screwed the joke
some
up.
Internal movements happening here, it's too much for me. And it's like, hey, you know what? If you're gonna have people put up your chairs and set your tables, and you're gonna make 18 grand a year and living off the hard work of other people, then more power to you. You know,
that's what happened to me. I did comedy full time from 1990 to 1995. Thank
yes.
you, Nick's,
yes.
for giving me the chance to get better because I had to become funny.
Uh-huh.
Even though Caroline Ray said Larry's naturally funny, I don't think I was born funny. I had to become funny.
Yeah.
Even Jerry Lewis said, "You're born within your bones funny."
Yeah.
Followed by Jerry Lewis. Ready?
Yeah.
You like this?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll probably say this more times tonight. When you walk into a nightclub. I don't do the best Jerry Lewis impression, but when you walk into a nightclub and you see someone on stage, you are watching someone in trouble. That's what we're all in trouble. We're up there by ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not Cato and Moron.
Uh-huh,
we're just, you're in trouble. You know.
You're putting yourself in trouble. You're putting
yeah.
yourself out there.
Why would anybody want to do that?
Mm.
Why?
Well, I have a couple of friends that that follow comedy, and they just, you know, they have friends, you know, that are comics, and they've never done it themselves, and they're like, I would never do it, and I don't understand why you guys do. And she's like, I enjoy it, but I would never put myself in a position of I need to tell a story to somebody. I need to talk about my day. And it's like, I already have that outlet with my friends and family. I don't need to tell a bunch of strangers, you know. So, and that makes a lot of sense.
Who's the guy that looks like Treat Williams that does comedy? I can't think of his name.
Treat Williams?
He looks like him, and his name is...
I love Treat Williams.
Anyway, he said on a recent podcast...
He's a treat.
If it's a treat to know Paula Williams. All right, enough. With some of these jokes right, you do for yeah. us...
Rick Cormier, everybody.
Dave Across Comedy. Later on, we're going to have Judy Carnes stop by, who was once married to... Burt Reynolds.
Yes. And George Papad.
But anyway, the guy that looks like Treat Williams,
mm-hmm.
he's great. He goes around the country and takes his favorite comics that he gets along with.
Yes.
And books the room and sets the room up right. Nope. We're going to have a spotlight. Yeah, we're going to have a black background.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to have people eating during the show. he does it all right, and that's why he's doing great.
Yeah.
He said, when I watch a comic and he starts telling punchline jokes, I go... If you're a real comedian, you should talk about the kind of day you had that led up to 9 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
that's what I'm going to try this time around. No
yeah.
final exit tour for me.
Yeah.
When we go do a a show, wherever.
Yeah.
To your hometown,
it's a performance.
Hometown. I'm going to talk about, you know, if you're doing a club or a bar in Tewksbury, I'm from here. That's how you start. I'm
right.
from this town.
Yeah, that's what I did.
What's the next joke? I don't know.
No, you go from
I don't
there.
Know.
You go from there and you see
I've
where,
never
where
tried
they're
that.
Taking it.
Never tried that.
Oh, it's fun.
So, yeah. And I'm probably going to be good at it. And that's how I got to look at it. Like,
yeah.
I've had comics say, I can't work the crowd because I don't think I'll be good at it. And I go, well, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that I think I'd rather have that than look too rehearsed telling the stupid
yeah.
dartboard jokes
yeah.
forever.
I get that's why I'm very surprised when you're like, you have some trouble with the larger group sometime. You get a little nervous because I'm at the point where you're doing something where you've already built up all this stuff you've done. You have a history. You've put the work in. You shouldn't be afraid to do it. And that's one of the things I think, you know, there are people that I am afraid of. But the work itself, I'm not afraid of. And I have the confidence to throw in as best as I can do to try to make somebody have a good time that particular moment of that particular night, because we're never going to get it back. That's
maybe,
the way I look
maybe
at
Maybe you
stuff.
Can help me with that.
Yeah.
I need someone to say to me, if we were in Yuck Yucks in St. Louis right now,
mm-hmm.
and it was 5 minutes before the show, I'm pacing.
Yeah.
I can't take it. Mm-hmm. But if some chickadee out of the audience said, we came all the way from Florida to see you. You're one of the funniest people I've ever seen.
Right, right.
Okay, she says I'm funny. I'm ready to be introduced. She gave me the confidence I needed.
You get the boost of confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you can help me with that.
Maybe, yeah.
Because
that'd be nice.
I'm always going to be nervous, but I don't want to be afraid. Because have you seen me in front of large crowds and picked up on my nervousness?
Sometimes.
Why didn't you say anything?
Yeah. Well, you didn't ask.
Love a liberal Democrat from Route 38.
Uh-huh. You know what I love? I love I love Chance Langton, where he used to just say to people, nice try at the end of this.
Yeah.
And you had a good one, too. Like, right afterwards was similar to a nice try. But I kind of wish, at this point, just to get less people to do comedy, is saying it at the beginning, like you're going to do horrible, as right before they go up. You know, but now I don't care. So it's just like, I don't want to do it. I don't care. It's like, you're going to figure out on your own
right. How
much you suck and how you shouldn't be doing this, or how well you are, and you continue on to other things.
You have to, I think, and I am speaking for me, but new people should consider this. You have to become funny. You have to stay the course, and you don't have to corner yourself like I used to do.
I think some people are naturally funny, and I do think there's an element of tragedy to it. I mean, there's definitely an element of tragedy to it, because you start thinking a different way than other people. And you also, you know, you're just like, you know, there's an amount of caring about yourself and other people. It's like, there's also some very passionate people out there that really care, but you can't get under that exterior that they put up and that shell. You know, like you said, you know, disappear for a little while, or, you know, it's like you have to have your own time. But I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm become a little reclusive. I think, you know, there's...
Not going to work.
And I also feel at some point...
Not going to work.
We were talking a little bit about religion and whether there's God, or, you know, I'm agnostic. But at the same time, I also feel like I've done this before. And I also like the Defending Your Life Albert Brooks movie, where you have to keep doing it until you get it right. And then you're allowed to move on. So I think there may be something there.
You're never going to get it right.
No. And I feel like
there's no finish line.
I feel like you have to get it right in your early 20s and up until 30, 35. But that's also something that's based on media and society. It's also based on religion. You have to have kids. You have to get married. Like, all this BS that people throw at you. You don't have to do anything.
That's right.
You know, the answer is you don't have to do anything. You don't have to answer to anybody. It's your life. Go out and do it. Just be a kind person and don't cause pain to other people in order to get more money or to get ahead.
Right.
It's not that hard. Be nice.
Is that a message for Teddy Bergeron?
That's a message.
He always squeezed you for money.
I wonder how he's doing.
But we are here, my friends.
No.
She's on a wire.
But what's funny is Bob Cottreau told me he was the worst person I ever lived with.
Mm-hmm.
But then a couple of days ago he went, I miss Teddy. I go, how could you miss someone that everything they said and did drove you batty?
Mm.
I don't, because
they had fun together.
Because he was I miss him because he's the craziest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
And so, well, I found out Teddy was in the military, too, so you got to kind of give him a pass for that stuff.
Did you feel kind of bad because you wanted to be the craziest person you ever met?
Yeah, probably. Because I have been on job interviews in the Midwest.
I would have felt like that, too. I would have been like, man, where do I rank in there?
Yeah, I have to outthink this schlub.
Bottom five?
I gotta be outthinking this knucklehead.
Yeah.
When I was applying for work in the Midwest.
Yeah. How's he doing? He went to Vegas or something, didn't he?
I don't know. You seen him? He's probably in front of the Stone Zoo right now with a sandwich board, and it's a whole wheat, and no one can read the letters.
Yeah.
The thing is, in the Midwest, I said, I'm going to try something. I used to tell nobody I was a comedian and a radio star, kind of, in Rhode Island and Providence.
Right.
And a waiter and a call center rep. And those are the four skills I possess.
Yes.
I tried in-home care service for a while, but everybody I waited on died.
Yes.
So I said, it's time to switch gears. And the strange magic began when I decided to tell everybody I'm a comedian, uh-huh. I'm a radio announcer, I'm a waiter, and I'm an inbound call center rep.
Yeah.
So once you put comedian first, you let them know you're going to be hearing some outrageous things whether you like it or not.
Right, right.
I brace them for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, that turns into, so Larry, what was it like being a comedian? You used to do comedy.
I'm on duty all the time. You're on duty.
I am a comedian. Yes. Hello.
See, I don't tell people that stuff anymore, especially because of the day job stuff, just a matter of the bills and being responsible. And
right.
It's just a matter of, because then all of a sudden, well, where can I see you? And then somebody's coming to see me that
don't
is,
show up.
You know, well, could be super religious or have a completely different, and then they bring it back into work and like, hey, what about this D joke you did last night? And then all of a sudden everybody's like, wait, what are you talking about? And it causes problems. I think the family and the friends in the comics should all stay separate. I had somebody talk, you know, I was talking about, you know, my grandmother dying or something, posted a picture of her as she was younger, and some jackass comic was like, oh, she's so hot or whatever. And it's like, you know what? Inappropriate. Don't need it. You know?
That was your relative?
It's inappropriate. Yeah, it was my grandmother, you know?
Come on. Were they serious, too?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, like, inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, just like you were saying, you know, you still worry about people. We're not heartless. You know, we know there's jokes, but we're not heartless.
As
a matter of fact,
you.
A lot of us have bigger hearts than you would even imagine. You know?
It bothers you.
We feel
you.
More.
You feel too much. You have to feel too much to be funny.
Yes.
But what I want to ask you, and I'm going to tell you how to run your life, okay?
Yes.
Because I know you're fed up with day gigs.
I could use some solid advice.
Do you realize being a normal guy, and I'm talking Monday through Friday, 9 to 5,
yeah.
makes you a better nightclub act at night?
Sure.
Because funny things happen all day.
Yeah.
Watch the lay people, the way they walk and talk and cook their dogs. You go, I'm gonna bring that up tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know where, when. I'm going to find the joke in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just want to be a normal guy and kind of put comedy in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And pay my bills.
Yeah.
And not live in a tent in Lowell.
Yeah.
Or behind a Cumberland Farms. Or behind, you know, Mike's Ice Cream Pastry Shop in the North End. The North End.
Yeah.
And just be, I want to be a regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then focus on comedy. Because it's harder to be normal.
Yeah, it sure
is. It is to be creative, flaky, formatted out of my mind.
I get very tired with all the rationalizations you have to do during the day with people and just the nonsense.
You,
you can do it, but it's exhausting.
It. Yeah, you know what?
Exhausting.
If you don't do it, I'm never coming back here again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I know you've just given up on everything. I understand that.
Yeah, almost everything.
No, you
not WMFO.
Haven't you?
Yeah, I always bring an A game here.
One day this will all be gone.
Yes.
Because they're going to, you know, put up a parking lot.
Yeah.
Joni Mitchell.
Well, they'll put, you know, somebody that's half my age that's you know, a tranny or a woman.
Yeah.
Or,
and give them a little stipend.
Yeah. And they'll put on some half-assed 10% show.
Right.
You know? And it's like, whatever happened to the 100% show?
They don't
know. He's dead.
They don't know how to change. He killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to change a teletype role. They don't know what a cart is.
I'm coming to get you today. And here's another part of the mind of what goes on during the day. We're all over the place. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about it fast and furiously sometimes. But I'm coming to get you. And the GPS tells me, okay, this is the maps, the GPS. It tells me stay in the left four lanes. Stay in the left four lanes. The highway is four lanes long. And there's nowhere else to go. It's telling me stay in the left four lanes, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this and I'm hearing stay in any of these lanes. Why would you even add that to the GPS direction? And I get, it's not, It's like you're trying to confuse me when you didn't have to say anything. And that's how I feel about people. You don't have to say so many words.
They're trying to upstage you and be funnier.
Yeah.
That's a machine. Why don't you become a truck driver and have a New England route? You're home every weekend in that big house of yours with the 4-slice toaster. And say, if you drive all the time, I don't need GPS. I've been here before.
Yeah. I know. And that's the thing is you start relying on these technology because people are getting lazy. No, they are lazy.
Oh, that word. See, I screwed up in Nebraska about 3 months ago. Now, you just saw the way I danced like a white guy in the studio, right?
Yeah, it was great.
You've
Everybody
seen my lap
it.
Before.
Yes.
But it's pretty funny to watch white people dance.
It sure is.
And I purposely dance out of time.
The Al Gore dance.
Yeah, I purposely dance out of time because I got a fanny in the front. Patrice O'Neill told me to say that. And just be out of rhythm, and it's like Jackie Gleason, watching Jackie Gleason dance. That's kind of what I emulate, right?
Yeah, Patrice O'Neill, very funny, too. He's gone.
I know. He's still funny, though.
Yeah, he's still funny.
You got all that work, you can see. He's still there.
Well, wait till you see the legacy that Chris Earl has left behind with the radio show. I have 11 years worth of radio shows for some lucky person to find one day.
11
some
years.
Some treasure.
11 years with no pay stubs. So, colossal failure. Well, getting back to you should at least get a gas stipend or cream soda and a sandwich.
Well, the thing is, being rich, I never needed a pay stub.
You were never rich. 18 grand is nothing. If you're single, it's nothing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm working in a plastics factory by the airport in Lincoln.
Yeah.
A Mexican woman named Olivia called me lazy. And one night, a Carmela woman from Saudi Arabia was crying. Yeah. I don't know about you. You see someone cry, don't you go over and say something?
Yeah, maybe. It depends who it is.
I work with them. I gotta.
Yeah.
Okay? Because
I get afraid.
Yeah, I get nervous. Not afraid, but
I'm like, I don't want to cry, too. I'm good.
I know. Don't take... You could watch a touchdown and cry. It doesn't have to be bad news.
Yeah.
So the next thing is this David Bowie?
Yeah.
Real name, David Jones.
Yes, it is.
Name of the song? I never heard it.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's Queen Bitch, actually. Yeah.
All right.
It's like, I hate to see a grown man cry.
Yeah.
So, away, off you go. Out of my sight.
I don't know.
That's from Monty Python.
When I see a little kid cry, I go, aha. But when I see a 50-year-old woman from Saudi Arabia cry named Carmela, I go over and... We work 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. This is at 3:30 in the morning.
Don't touch her, though. Make sure you don't touch her.
She's married.
Yeah.
She's married, and I don't even drink Saudi Arabian coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I go over. I go, what's the matter? She goes, I just got a call. My mom's dying back in Saudi Arabia.
Ugh.
And I can't get time off from work. I go, yes, you can.
Of course you can.
Listen, go into the office and tell, I forget his name. I just got bad news. I need to fly back to Saudi Arabia. I have the plane fare. Which I'm sure you do, because you're not American, so I know you got $20,000 in your kick. She goes, oh, no, I don't want to miss work. Just get out of here.
Yeah.
You're somewhere else right now. She went in. He said, go home. Come back in 3 weeks. Whatever. I guess she used some vacation time. Before I gave her that advice, I danced like the white guy I did earlier to you.
Yeah.
So I stopped her from crying, and she goes, oh, my goodness, you make me laugh. You make my tears go away.
That's nice.
And I wanted to quote Betty White when Lucy died. Lucy made the laughter outweigh the tears, but she's from Saudi Arabia. She wouldn't get it. She comes back 3 weeks later. How's your mom doing? Not good. She goes, you were right. They let me go home, and they didn't care if I was here. Nobody cares about you, believe me.
Absolutely.
Some heavy stuff goes down. Yep. Everything should stop and take care of it.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of days later at 5:45 in the morning when we were finishing up our shift, stupid Carmela put her hands on her own stomach and said, when are you going to do something about that fat stomach of yours?
She said that to you?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Was she being funny?
No.
She was being rude?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to smack her in the face, but I didn't want to get doodle on my hand.
Doesn't that kill you? It's like, here you are. You
destroyed me.
You've done something very nice for this person.
It's just...
You took her out of a horrible moment.
Right.
And then she goes back to being the same horrible person that she probably was to begin with.
Well, yeah. And people say, just forget it about her. Mother's sick. No.
No.
I provided you with fun-loving times and snapped you back.
Yeah.
And this is how you thank me?
Yep.
I want Tracy dead! So, between Olivia calling me lazy, which I know I'm not, and Carmella calling me fat, which
I'm a
little heavy. I don't think I'm that fat.
No, you're doing fine.
But like a knucklehead, I kept it to myself. I didn't complain to management.
Yeah, they eat you up. It's poison.
So for 3 weeks, I'm walking around like, you know, Jan Michael Vincent on his dental tray.
And Hoopa.
Hoopa. So I finally told the boss, and he said, I'll talk to Carmella about the fat comment, but I'm not talking to Olivia about the lazy comment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I ended up quitting like a knucklehead.
Yeah, but nothing was going to happen there, right? Just didn't want to be around those people anymore.
No one's going to be ejected.
Yeah.
But Joey Carroll called and rescued to me because I made a vow that if something bad happens in my life, I'm not going to call people like you and say, this is what I'm dealing with. I don't know what to do.
Well, I don't pick up the phone. So.
I noticed that. Yeah. I left you. I was going to, what do you call it?
Text me?
Not text. The old
smoke signal?
No, the old one.
Altus lamp.
I don't know what that is.
Altus lamp?
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, the story's almost over. Then we'll talk about what you just said. We'll go to Breakheart Reservation and light a fire and scream.
Yes. So anyway. Light an old Continental on fire and drink in a ditch.
Yeah, I may have a couple of beers, a couple of cigarettes, but I'm not going to get John David drunk. So anyway, the next thing I know, I quit, and I called Joey Carroll up and complained and told him the whole story.
Yeah.
And he goes, when someone says something rude to you like you're lazy and fat, it depends on how you take it.
Oh, boy.
No, he helped snap me back.
Come on, really?
Yeah, that's all it took to snap me back because it's not, look what I did for this woman.
Yeah.
It's, these people aren't worth knowing to begin with.
Yeah.
And people get too relaxed around me.
Yeah.
That's a problem. I'd rather be a little unnerved around you. It keeps me sharp.
Okay.
Back to you.
Sure. All right. Funk 49, Joe Walsh, arguably the best Eagle, came into the game a little late. But I saw the Eagles a couple of times, and Joe Walsh was always a highlight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't have any comment about what I just told you. He's like, I handled it wrong, but Joey handled it right. Well, tell me, what do you think?
I don't know.
Not what you would have done.
Yeah.
It's a big story about nothing. I gave up on me.
Yeah. You shouldn't have left the job. This is what I would have said. You shouldn't have left the job. They suck. Sit on the other side of the room. Ignore them.
Yeah.
But they don't go away.
It's
poison and it eats you alive. And the thing is here's the problem that I don't like of the advice that you took was it's dismissive. And there is, we talked about this on the ride up, rather than have a discussion. Good things take work. Relationships take work. If you want to have a discussion and fix a broken relationship, you have to do that. And if you dismiss them, what you're saying is you don't want to put in that time. And what it does is it gets rid of all the good times that you had with that person before that point. That's the part that I don't like. I don't like people dismissing one another. I don't like people thinking about, well, you know what? I'm done with them. I just think we're here. And like I said, I think we can all not necessarily be supportive of one another, but respect one another enough where, you know what, this person has helped me out in that life. You made her laugh, and then she said some crappy comment to you, and then it's costing you your job later on because you're making a decision. She could have talked to you about it, and it could have been discussed and worked out. But at that point, people throw up their hands and say, I'm done with it. And I've done it before. I mean, I've said I'm done with people, and I'm no victim. You know, I'm both the victim, and I'm also the aggressor.
You don't always practice that.
Right, and that's part of being human. But I also think about it and you know, it eats you up. And it's like you think about it, it's like, well, you never know. You could have had a better relationship there, you could have worked a little longer, you know. But
danced a little funnier?
Yes.
Maybe.
But at the same time, I think sometimes people fit into roles too, whether it's in family or professionally or even with friendships, you know? There's so many things to think about.
But you know what? Carmella.
Yes.
We'll never call anybody fat again.
Maybe.
I took the bullet.
Maybe, yeah.
And so it's kind of worth it for me.
Yes.
But then maybe, I don't know, maybe she'll call people fat and ugly.
Well, you hope they'll learn from it, but a lot of times they don't. It's just like that, well, what goes around comes around, or karma. And like we were saying, sometimes things go around and they keep going around for people and nothing ever catches up to them.
I don't believe in karma. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you believe in karma?
No, not really. But I also think if I've said this before, if I've had to do this all again, I wouldn't. I haven't enjoyed life that much. I mean, there's parts of life I enjoy.
You don't believe in reincarnation?
I don't know. I feel like I've done it, not coming back as like a dog or a hamster or something.
Imagine what the rents will be in 20 years from now.
If I came back, what would you want to come back as? Black woman?
An orgasm. So I live 30 seconds, done. And, you know, 30...
A mosquito.
Can I say something? An orgasm, 30 seconds, when you can double your time, you're making progress.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least we're original. We're not hacky.
Mm.
Do you think being alive is hacky today?
I think a lot of people put a lot of time into what they look like, what everybody else is doing. But what's interesting, too, is nobody ever listens to their parents or their siblings if they're older than them. They don't care. They think they're going to figure it all out for themselves.
Well, you have to.
Yeah. And the answer is you have to. But there's people that help a lot. I mean, I'm seeing a whole generation of people that are my age with kids that are, you know, in their teens and 20s now, and it's just like they completely baby them. You're having a whole bunch of unskilled people entering the work market.
Talentless.
Yeah.
No talent.
Yeah.
But like I say, when I meet someone or watch a comic, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to watch comedy. Maybe 30 minutes max in person is about all I can take.
I don't even watch it anymore. I can't stand it. Unless it's somebody
about,
I know.
Talking about when you're in the room, too.
Eh, it sucks.
Well, you have
if
to
If it's
have...
my friend, you know, I always enjoy watching you because I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't know what I'm going to do
either. You have at least one ear in the room because you want to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you got the same, you know, jackass that's doing the same freaking 10 minutes, it's like, God, I'm going to go take a pee-pee, you know?
Pepe Le Pew. I think comedy's in really rough shape today. What do you think?
I think so, too.
I'm talking about TV,
like local,
movies.
Everywhere, yeah.
Do you watch any of the night shows?
Sometimes. No, not really. Jimmy Fallon is just a big kiss-up, and he's very talented. But he's a horrible interviewer.
He should do more
horrible interviews.
Parodies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've never seen the show. What about the guy, Seth, what's his name, from New Hampshire?
Seth Meyers?
I never found him funny.
Neither did I. I never did either. It's like, oh, he's a great news writer. It's like, well, whatever. I don't want to watch him talk to anybody. Who cares?
More than one person writes news on television.
That's right.
Dan Rather used to say Dan Rather's reporting.
Yeah, I'd rather see Dan Rather doing the show.
You're rather... you're reporting words you did not write.
Yeah.
When you go out to a fire escape that just had a fire in New York, that's reporting.
I'll give you something to watch that's good. Sacha Baron Cohen, the brand new Showtime show.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Is that the one where he got the
congressman Palin,
to
the
change his pants?
Yes. And he basically has already had a couple people, you know, they got caught and they're quitting their jobs. And
I don't have to see
great.
It. I don't
it's
have
great.
To see it. Tell me what happened with Sarah Palin. Give me the dialogue.
They haven't actually shown what happened with Sarah Palin, but she was interviewed about coming to Showtime for a historical documentary on veterans, and he dressed as a veteran. And basically said he worked at UPS or something like that. And so her daughter and herself came in to interview him. But the interview hasn't been seen yet. But she wrote this whole thing like, he's horrible. It's not comedy, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I just love how these public figures like Sarah Palin would know a damn thing about comedy and what's funny. You know, it's like you've never once gotten in front of a mic and done stand-up or improv or anything. You don't know anything about the business. We don't tell you about politics. I could tell you were a horrible governor, and there's the only reason that you're famous is because John McCain's campaign manager wanted a woman on the bill, which is his worst decision ever and cost him the election. We could talk about that. You know, it's just, who is she?
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Yeah. Well, here's another piece. So John McCain didn't even invite Sarah Palin to the funeral, right? And so this guy, a year ago, do you remember? You said you watched the news. They're sitting there making fun of him. The poor guy's got brain cancer, and he can't put words together and stuff, you know? And now those same people in the media are talking about how wonderful he is, and Obama and George Bush, and everybody's together, and the world, it's all against Trump. It's like, this is just nonsense. What are you people doing and thinking? Is this what you think about every day? There's so many other things to do.
Pandering.
Yes.
Propaganda.
It's such nonsense. How different is it from Triumph of the Will? It's not.
Triumph for the what?
Triumph of the Will. Propaganda.
Triumph of the Will. I don't know.
Leni Riefenstahl back in the 40s, the Nazis. It's a movie.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, yeah. You don't like the movies, huh?
I don't like visual images. Once again, there's a good reason why I don't like movies. There are more bad movies than good movies.
That's true.
Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't care what an actor thinks. I don't even care what a comedian thinks unless asked.
But most people don't set out to make a bad movie. They go into it with a good heart. But a lot of people go into it like, you know what, I just want to make some money.
Well, look, the new movie Sweeney, Chasing Sweeney, or Chasing Amy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sweeney, Killing Sweeney.
Bill Broadus, Sweeney, or whatever. Yeah.
The idea of Bill Broadus, great writer. I've mm-hmm. seen him 10 times. I think I may have worked with him once. B-R-A-U-D-I-S, Bill yes. Broadus. Go, yeah. go U-boob his stuff.
Well, I'll he's do it very, right now. Yep.
He's as skinny as George McDonald these days, which is...
Oh, know, I like George.
I love him, too. He gave me my first shot November 86 at Stitches.
Oh, yeah?
Behind The Paradise. And 30 years ago, okay, last month, August, I was in the WBCN Comedy Riot. Sue McGinnis won. Mark Maron came in second. I thought I came in third. I had 6 guests on my list that night, back when you can have people come see you for free.
Mm-hmm.
So both sets of parents came. 1, 2, 3, 4 tickets. My auntie was 5th. I forget the 6th person. What is this, a hat cover version of Pretty Woman?
Mm-mm, yeah, lounge version of Pretty Woman in the background.
What's
Henry Jerome.
Oh, please. Oh, let me see what this maggot sounds like. Oh, there's no vocal?
No vocal, so you can just chat over it.
Are you smoking the paraquat again? What's going on here? So anyway, sold out all week, Stitches.
Yep.
I thought I came in 3rd, so I say. So I asked my parents after the show, what did you think about what you just saw? What did they come back with?
Uh-huh.
We never found you that funny growing up.
Wow.
So I said, what about now?
Wow.
How about what you just saw? Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
So that kind of devastated me.
When I was in Washington, D.C., I was down there, and my father had come, and we had gone to museums, and I ended up getting a gig down there. So I go to Washington, D.C., and my dad comes to the show.
You always do bad when people come see you, am I right?
I do different. Okay. I do something different. I'm not completely overly conscious about people that are out there, but sometimes it depends on your relationship with that person, whether you got into an argument with them recently or not. But my father, I'm talking to my brother on the phone. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this gig in Washington, D.C. They ended up giving me some money and go up tonight. And they're like, oh, that's cool. So you're like, oh, is Dad going with you? Oh, no, he doesn't want to go, right? So over and over again, he's like, he talks to me. He's like, Dad, I'm not going to beg you to come to the show, but you're not doing anything. You're sitting in the hotel room, the Harrington Hotel in Washington, D.C., you know, clipping your toes. So he comes down, and I go up and I do my thing, you know, and toward the end of the show, like another comic, the host comes back, and he calls on my dad at one point, and I had already gone up, and he's like, he's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm from Boston. Oh, my son's on the show. And he's like, oh, how'd he do? Was he the best one? And he's like, eh. That's what my father's answer was. Yeah. And the thing is, I was the best one. I got the most laughs.
I believe you.
But my father can't give that to me. He can't give it to me.
How come that doesn't bother you?
It does bother me. But I also realize the man's crazy. He's insane.
And he never bought a record, so what the hell does he know?
No. And I told you about the trash can, right? Did I tell you the trash can story?
Driveway. Yeah. You opened with that.
Oh, I did on the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I forget stuff.
It's all right. It's only been 2 hours and 38 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, for God's sake, I just put out the trash, and he, like, smashes into it 5 minutes later.
You've seen The Sopranos, yes?
Yeah.
How about the scene where Tony Soprano asks Corrado Soprano his... Uncle?
Corrado Soprano.
Is that his name?
I think so, yeah.
Tony Soprano looks at his uncle and goes, don't you love me? And that's where I'm at.
Yeah. So
I guess I'd rather you like me than love me, because even Mickey Rooney said, married 8 times, you should find someone you like, not someone you love, because love fades.
Yeah.
Well, if like fades, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah. There's nothing left for any of us.
I don't know. Yeah. What's out there?
Yeah.
I think Bill Burr said this on his podcast recently. We're geared for 2 billion people. We're busting at the seams with 7 billion people.
Uh-huh.
That's why there's not many jobs out there. There's too many people to go around.
Yeah.
And they are after the white male. I don't care what Carl Yard thinks.
Okay? Yeah.
They're out to get the white male.
I think one of the most messed up things now, too, is... you're brought up on stories that have beginning, middle, and ends. And in relationships and work and stuff, you have beginnings and middles, and things don't end. Or they don't end appropriately or at all. And you have people fading in and out of life. You know, like, I hadn't seen you in a while, and here we are picking up like I saw you yesterday. But there's other people that just fade out, and you never see them again.
It's yesterday, today, we met.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, for many years, and I totally understand this, you never return calls.
I do from time to time.
No, but the thing is... It's 3.5 months later. If I call you, it shouldn't take 109 days for you to say, I got your message.
Yeah.
But you know what? I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're fed up. when the hankering comes around, I'll call Larry Beck.
Yeah, which I've, I've got the Bill Murray 800 number, the person that's sitting at the desk in the Kingsman Circle. It's like, I'll call him when we got something.
10 years ago, when we worked at Plum Choice in Billerica.
Yeah.
Dump. On three Fridays in a row, you said you wanted to do Chinese food this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, yeah. And you never called me, so I called you a couple of times. You never called me back. Then I'd see you Monday at work.
And I Chinese food in my hand?
No. And I'd say, what happened over the weekend? Friday, you generated an appointment you didn't show up for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris, you're acting like you want to know me. What's the problem? I kind of laid into you, and you went,
right.
I forgot we had plans. And no, but then you told me. But see what
that sounds like me.
No, but what I didn't know, as Larry Glick would say, the story behind the story was. Yeah, yeah. You were hit in front of Comcast in Chelmsford from behind.
Oh, right.
And it fucked your head up.
Oh,
yeah. I never knew that about you.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, that's kind of an important nugget you could have told me when I first met you. Because if you have whiplash, obviously you got some brain damage in there. I just never picked up on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never noticed you do kind of walk like you have a neck brace on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
I never noticed.
Yeah, I've been hurt pretty bad.
So I said,
it's my greatest strength and my greatest weakness. Yeah.
And I hope you don't have Comcast these days. Mm-hmm. But the point is that's all you had to say. You forgot we had plans because of whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it all together, and then I stopped holding it against you.
Yeah.
Because your thought process was interrupted by accidents.
But it's also something that you don't want to promote because people treat you differently.
I thought you didn't like me.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, you're all right.
No, what did I do to this guy besides maybe be funnier than you one night? No. I say, what did I do to, you know?
Uh-huh.
You think someone doesn't like you and they think the world of you, and then you think someone loves you and they screw you.
Oh, yeah. When I went to like a high school reunion like that, too, and I just decided, you know what, after the last one, I'm good.
Don't go.
Yeah, don't go.
Yeah.
Because I sit and I think, you know what, I'm bringing so many people joy, and there's so many people here that are not bringing me joy.
They're doing nothing for me.
They're doing nothing.
They're doing nothing.
It's like I'm performing for you.
There's no jokes in this room.
Yeah. Yeah,
I haven't seen these people for 30 plus years, and there's not.
But to be fair, there's a few diamonds in the rough. There's a few gems, not many. Three out of 100.
The only funny person at a high school reunion is me. Mm. None of these people have ever thought of anything funny or said anything funny.
Yeah, yeah.
That may be cynical. Too bad.
Yeah.
You don't like it? Take Manhattan and get off.
What would be the best year of your life? What would you think is a good age if you could just stick on that age for a lifetime?
I would say 18. I don't care if I have to wait 3 years to drink a beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at 18, I was a senior in high school in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I miss a lot of the chickadees from high school. It's just like in comedy. I got out of comedy and moved to the Midwest because I didn't think anybody liked me.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Lynch enlightened me. Everybody's asking for you.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah, I always thought people wanted to stay away from me because I'm too toxic. Mm. But I don't think I'm really that bad.
Yeah, I get told I'm toxic from time to time. But,
yeah, but you're not that bad.
I don't think so either.
So,
you know what? That's their problem. That's what I look at.
I know. It took me a long time to realize that if people want to do something for me and like me, I'm going to let them help me and let them do something for me.
Yeah.
Even Sandy Kitchen one time offered me a ride home.
And I'm going to call her for you and see if we can get in touch.
Really?
We can look at the birdies. Number? I think I got it still, yeah.
Is she married, though?
Maybe. I don't know. Why, you want a shot at her?
No, I don't do marry women because they're going to make up stuff.
She may be single. Well, actually, you know what? She actually lived nearby me at one point.
Well, we'll do it.
She walked her dog. It wasn't a dog. She had her cat on a leash. Oh, so she would walk her cat.
Yeah, get her on the phone. Yeah, I want to talk to her. No.
Okay. I wonder if she's still there. I don't know.
We'll do it after the show because you got to visit your brother in Salisbury.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
And, sell some seashells.
I don't like to tell people. Yeah, I don't like to tell people what I'm doing much anymore.
Oh, it's not Salisbury. It's Frederick, Maryland.
Yeah.
That's right. Let me get it right. The thing is, I posted my phone number for Ralphie Joyle in the hospital, and not one person has called me.
God bless him.
Because there's a couple
Save
of people
Ferris.
We were talking. There's a couple of people we were talking about earlier. I don't want to call me, but then I can.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
But then I don't have to answer my phone either.
Because
I have his number emblazoned in my head.
Let me tell you something, though. And this is why I responded probably not what you expected. Because you're like, all right, maybe I'll ask Chris. Maybe he knows what's going on. And I responded with what I considered a joke. But it was very offensive.
What? Right. Something I said?
Yeah. When you
tell me now. Tell me right now.
No, when you were asking if I knew what had happened.
To who? What's his name?
Yeah. And I responded with it.
Offensive?
Yeah. No, my answer was offensive.
Okay, let's see if I remember what you said.
I basically said, yeah, still, yeah.
I don't remember what you said.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, but, do you know what's going on? And I'm like, no, he's still blah. Yeah.
What I liked about when you told me his little stupid accident, that's when I knew I was talking to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's not bright.
But the thing is a lot of people nowadays too, and it's just like, oh, here I am, you know, with the doctors. It's like, okay. So there's this cryptic, and then it's basically like, oh, I have 4,000 friends, 2,800 I've never even met in my life, and they're all like, hope you feel better, wonder what's going on.
How about rest in peace?
All right. Yeah, it's like, come on.
Give it a yank.
It's like, come on. It's like, you know what? If you want to put that thing out there and have everybody worry about you, it is your responsibility to follow up with them right away and let them know what's going on. Otherwise, don't mention it to begin with.
That's that guy's problem. He wants people to worry about him.
Mm-hmm.
And not one person has ever said to
exactly.
me, how's what's his name doing?
Right.
I says, I haven't talked to him for 5 years because of this, that, and the other thing.
Yes.
And I forgive him, but I really don't want anything to do for him. Now, I may change my mind about that one day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a couple of his family members have passed away.
Yeah.
And I'm out of town 1,500 miles, and boy, do I wish I could be there to comfort you now, even though you act like a douche.
Yes.
I still wish I was there.
This is what I do now. Would this person do it for me? And if the answer is no, I don't care.
All right.
That's my answer.
No, that's a good thought process. I need to hear that.
Yes.
Because I only need 1, 2, 3 people on my side.
Yeah.
I don't need a gang of people.
You don't?
Because I'm a decent person. I'm not always a nice guy, but I can be on decency patrol all the time.
I think people like to run in packs, and you have more packs of wolves lately than ever. You have a whole bunch of people that just want to jump in the wolf pack and just sick somebody that's outside the wolf
Running
pack.
With the Pack by Bad Company?
Oh, great tune. Yeah, I can play that.
You won't even see me.
You mean you don't like the lounge version of Dizzy?
It's okay, but I feel like I'm on Uncle Gus at WMUR Channel 9. And I don't do TV. I don't do the ghoul.
Yeah. Do you remember Robillard?
Duke Robillard, a singer?
Robillard, no. And it was WLVI 56. And he dressed up and he ate candy and then he had some fruit.
No.
No?
Simon Sanctorum, do you remember him?
Yes.
Channel 5?
Yeah.
George Fennell?
George Fennell.
See, we have a lot in common, but that doesn't mean we're going to get along.
I know. We do the best that we can. That's
no,
all
the
we
thing is,
do.
It's good to have breaks. Like all these years, you didn't return my calls.
That's not true. I don't think that's completely true. Well, I've called you, and I don't know where you are. You have like 20 different numbers, too.
Another one. Yeah. They used to work for 9X that doesn't know what's going on.
You're like, I got a free phone. It works for 45 minutes. Give me a call. And then you throw that away, and then you get another phone.
I was doing what you were doing. I purposely didn't reactivate a phone because I needed a break.
Yeah.
So I thought, no, I have to push myself to be uncomfortable with lay people like I have to push myself to be relaxed around entertainers.
I think that's what happens,
that's
too.
The wrong song.
Is sometimes, I'm going to play both. I'm going to play Can't Get Enough. Man. This goes out by request. And Running with the Pack. Do you need a break?
Yeah, I got a
break. Do you? All right. A little break, we'll be right back. WMFO, Medford.
See, you know me. And baby, I want you. You give me something I need. Now tell me I got something for you. Come on, come on, come on and do it. Come on and do what you do. I can't get enough of your love.
I'm running with the pack. Running with the pack. I'm running with the pack. Never looking back. You tried to keep me in cages, but baby, you got to catch me fast. You think your love is contagious. I'll do my best, you can do your worst. I'm leaving you. Now who can I trust? You won't even see me enough for dust. I'm running with the
All right, running with the pack.
All right.
All right.
All right. I'm Chris.
Oh, I was going to say, do all your right. best, Chris Earle.
I'm Chris Earle, and I don't like anybody. Yeah. And even if I liked you before, I no longer like you. You don't have to do anything. You have to feel too much to be funny. The heck
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
How do you? No, I'll just hold
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
Like, I'll hold it like Teddy Bergeron.
No, you see how this little dingle dangles in there?
You know, I can't do anything.
A little
mechanical.
Dingle dangle there. Something happened.
I can't do anything.
I'm going to have to fix that for you.
Go ahead.
All right. Hold on.
Thank you, Uncle Daddy. Oh, yeah, that's good. It was a little flush piece of equipment I broke.
Well, we may have a few extra minutes here, because it doesn't look like the guy from 5 to 6 has been showing up the last couple weeks. But if he does show up, we'll have to leave right away within the next few minutes. Otherwise, we could stay until 6.
What's his name?
I don't know. He's a very important guy here at WMFO. I don't know him super well.
Mm.
It kind of puts me on the spot, because I feel like I should.
Yeah,
but I don't care. Mr. Gracias.
Who no calls, no show.
He does the music discovery hour.
In this economy, who no calls, no show. I'll write him up if he walks in here.
He's a good guy. I just don't, you know, I don't know him.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing I don't like. Like, my brother does this a lot. He's like, oh, yeah, he's a good guy. Like, he'll talk about somebody that's like, all right, they, you know, cheated on their wife, or they even,
yeah, course,
you know,
yeah.
done something horrible, and,
you
know, stolen a bunch of money yeah. from a company. And he's like, yeah, he's a good guy. And I'm like, actually, he's not.
Yeah, he's on fentanyl,
like,
and he's
why
okay.
Why is he a good guy? Because you know him?
Yeah.
There's no not everybody's good. Like, most people aren't good.
I agree.
Yeah. How about No Sugar Tonight? That's a great tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
I want to tell
that
a quick, clean joke, too.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, tell it.
On You Boob, of course, all the good stuff is today. It's David Letterman interviewing Jerry Seinfeld. Have you seen it?
David Letterman interviewing Seinfeld? No.
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes long, maybe 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah, maybe I have.
At one point, Jerry stops the interview, and he says, I'm going to tell a joke. And I'll be surprised if you laugh at it, because it's really not a joke. So if you don't laugh, I'll understand it more. Comedian goes into a convalescent home to entertain for a half hour. There are people in beds, they're Alzheimer victims, and they don't know what's going on. Tells the joke, people falling out of their beds. rolling on the floor. They got to prop them back up into bed.
Uh-huh.
Can you turn the music down just a little?
Yeah.
Music can't.
You can always. Yeah, no.
They can't be louder than me.
Well, you got the headphones up, I think.
Yeah, okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, good call.
Go ahead.
So I go, comedian tells the joke.
Yeah.
Falling out of their beds, rolling them back up into their Alzheimer's bunks. Tells the next joke, same joke as the first joke. Crowd's going bananas. Get them back in bed. They're laughing at nothing. Laughing at the joke they just heard. Tell the same joke three times in a row. That was the end of the show. There was a guy not laughing that approached the comic after the show and said, "You were really good today. How do you remember all that?" You see, you weren't listening, huh?
No, I know the joke.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you didn't interrupt me. Okay. How about a Don Gavin story? Also, you'll laugh,
but
it's not really a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Kowloon, 1994 and a quarter.
Yeah.
Don likes a few libations during the show. He's given me good comedy advice, too.
Yeah.
And he starts a sentence when he's trying to give me advice. "You, Mr. Rapucci." And then he launches into his advice. But it was good, fun-loving advice. Well, there are some people, the more tipsy they get, the more loose they are. And consequently, the funnier they are, right?
That's true.
You've seen that.
Yeah.
Maybe Frankie Bastille.
Yeah.
So at one point, Don tells the same joke three times in a row, just like the joke I told.
Mm-hmm.
Three times in a row. Within a minute, same three jokes.
Yeah.
Gets off stage. I go, "Don, you told the same joke three times in a row." And he went, "The record's six."
That's pretty good.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. This guy's got a minute to get here. He'd be here by now.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have to pull his music? You don't have to do that
anymore.
I'm
not sure. We're going to see. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to close this out with, I got the sugar in the background, but I think we'll close it out with The Grand Illusion by Styx.
Okay.
Which would be a perfect way.
And we're still uploading this so the program could become 4 hours long?
Yes, you can can basically turn on the WMFO.org. It's a website.
Yeah. They've heard of it.
Turn that on. And then you can get Sucking in the 70s from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. and maybe to 6 p.m. So I'm going to play some Styx.
And we're going to shut up and just listen.
And we're going to shut up and we'll listen to the end of the grand finale. And, we will either thank Larry Rapucci for showing up or we will be right back. It's WMFO here in Medford, Sucking in the 70s.
Or we're going to send them to Wisconsin.